Are we recording? Hi, welcome to episode 3 of Comic Book Funny, starring...
Is this where I talk?
Yeah, starring...
Alright, David, I'm David.
Blumenstein.
And
Ben Hutchings, which is me.
He's Ben Hutchings.
Sorry, I talked over you again. Okay, this is a podcast where we discuss Australian comic books, if you don't know. We discuss what little news there actually is in the Australian comic books scene.
Yeah. Oh, there's been a bit going on, though. In April and March, we put on these things called Comic Book Funny, which is like this podcast, except we did it live in front of an audience at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And I thought it went really, really good.
Yeah, it went for 4 weeks. Each week had a different group of, funny cartoonists only. Yeah. I can only talk about the one I was in because it was the only one I was in. But we're actually going to play you the audio from the second Comic Book Funny. It was Glenn Smith, Ross, whose name I always have to think about before I say.
Tesoriero.
Tesoriero. And myself, Ben Hutchings. That was good.
And the first bit you're going to hear, I started off...
You all do wacky, silly comics. Do your families, do your general communities, do they know that you do comics, and do they like them if they know?
My parents, they know about what I do. They're not really that happy, I guess, with what I do, but
really?
They know that it exists. They sort of stop being interested at a certain point.
What does your family think?
About my comics?
Your sister likes your comics.
Yeah, Sarah loves them. I try to write some stuff that I think that she will think is funny, my sister. My parents just sort of think it's kind of charming. I don't think they'd ever read them because they're pretty rude most of the time. They all sort of look at them and go, "Ooh, Ben, ooh, you are funny, ooh, isn't clever," like that. That's what my parents think about my comics.
Can you read
my
this
mom, at least. My dad doesn't talk like that.
Why comics as a medium for you?
It just sort of worked, you know. I always been creative and like to tell stories. I write a lot when I was a kid and also used to draw a lot, so I guess it's just natural really. You can mix the two together. That's fine.
I mean, you can put pictures and words together, and pictures tell 1,000 words. It's a horrible cliche, but it's true. And you can say a lot more with one picture than you can, I don't know, you sort of, you have a bit of confidence in the viewer.
Would it be offensive to suggest a certain thread of immaturity running through all your work?
But that's not a negative thing.
No,
there's nothing wrong with being a little immature.
Yeah.
That's something that everyone should sort of cultivate, I think. Or childishness.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much one element of all the comedy that I used to really like. Like, the goodies on one level, like, the goodies were definitely a bit of an influence on me. That was very childish, but at the same time it had a real sort of... clever sort of thread. It was Monty Python, but at the same time it was a little bit comic-y. I like one panel jokes sometimes. I like that. I'm probably the opposite of Ben. Ben's really good at one panel leading to the next panel,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I find it a little bit sort of frustrating.
You're not originally a comic-y comicker.
No, I make no excuse for that. I'm an illustrator, I reckon.
Yeah.
But I'm a bloody funny one sometimes.
Oh, here we go. Explain necrotardation.
Okay, this is... This is a metal band that I made up, sort of in the vein of Bad News or Spinal Tap. I used to play in a band called Lawn Smell, and we kicked around with quite a few retarded metal bands. And I just thought, well, now that Norway spawned all these black metal bands, it's time to probably turn them into a comic. I did this a long time. There's a thing that's come out recently called Metalocalypse. And it's really funny, but that's the original, Necrotardation. It's really funny. They actually got a whole heap of metal bands to do some covers. And the covers just, they consisted of me coming up with some pretty
you came
funny
up with the titles.
Yeah, the titles and these bands just went with it and legitimised it. It was really good.
And that CD.
I was going to do a second one, but I just sort of, I ran out of enthusiasm for it. But it's a pretty good little story, and... buy it if you want. It's here. It's got quite a few comics here.
It's got a CD with it, with all the
songs. Yeah,
the
CD, and it comes with an animation that me and Ross did.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's called Children of the Very Wicked by a band called Biceptosaurus from Brisbane. And they killed it. They did a really good version of the Necrotardation song, which didn't exist, but now it does.
That's clever.
High concept.
Where do your comics appear lately? Because you self-publish, like the stuff that we've got here.
Yeah.
This is all self-published comics. But you've also been doing comics that are actually for print in various places.
Yeah. I actually did a kids comic called Captain Space Mania, and that was through Mania. And that was really cool. That was really fun.
We don't have any examples of that, do we?
No, we don't have any examples of that. But that was really cool. I really enjoyed that. But I'm sort of paying my rent doing artwork for bands now, and that's really fun. That's sort of something I've always wanted to do since I was 15. I reckon I thought one day I'd love to do that, and I'm actually paying the rent. Well, I mean, it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. That's really cool.
Well, it's I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure exactly who we have here, but in case they didn't know, very, very, very few people in this country actually can make a living doing comics.
Yeah, or doing art really in general. I call myself an art mercenary. I'll do anything, you know. I'll paint your car, I'll paint your face. I just love doing art. I like creating. I like creating with friends, and this is probably what this is all about and what this is all about. Oh, yeah, here's another one of those things. You think you're king shit, and there he is. He's a shit with a crown on his head.
Good.
I've never said that
before. That's brilliant. It is good. See, it's based on the same king shit, which is a common saying, and it's using the double meaning of the word shit to literally see a piece of shit. But he's also a king because he's got a crown on the top, right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like two meanings, and that in itself is funny.
Could you explain that to us?
Yeah.
If you could tell us a little bit about Tales from the Pub.
All right. This is for Pitcher. Pitcher is one of two of those Aussie kind of blokey porno mags. Tales from the Pub, what it is a little strip where readers write in with a story that happened to them, and then I draw it as a comic. And this is one, it's got a great title, I couldn't think of one, so I call it The Thing That Happened Once. And this is actually one of the staff of Pitcher. Obviously, you know, like again, when it started, there weren't people writing in, so we had to get stories from wherever. So this was from one of the staff, and she has anger issues, and what happens in this one? On a train, a fellow actually threw a bag in her head when she was sleeping, and they had an argument. I don't need to explain the story really, but she's.
I was going to get you to actually kind of explain it.
Oh really?
Well, because I wanted to use this one to start with to talk about the funniness of it.
Okay.
And ways in which you achieved funniness.
A fellow in a suit. She was snoring after working like 14 hours. She was asleep on the train. A fellow came in. In a suit, took her bag away from the, you know, which was resting next to her, and slapped it against her head, and then he sat down next to her. She got angry at him. They had a little argument there, and he said, "You are nothing." And when she got off the train, she smacks him in the face with a folder and gets off and says, "You didn't learn manners at business school. That's what I didn't learn at anger management. You fuckwit."
I wanted to draw attention, I think I told you, to the way that the guy is drawn.
Yeah, you
compared
can,
to how she's drawn.
Yeah, I usually draw people very, 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 very cartoony. And this one, I think sometimes to make a guy, I guess a lot of personality comes through in the face, and I didn't want to draw him as a cartoony because he would look cute, so I deliberately I tried to make him look a bit more realistic, like a real, just sort of a normal looking man. For some reason I think that works.
Yeah.
It makes him come across, I wanted him to come across as a real asshole.
Yeah.
So that you were angry at him as well. So that you sort of identified.
Yeah, he's got full on human dead looking eyes.
Yeah, I was thinking
and
of the guy.
She's very archy.
Yeah, she is completely.
When I saw one of the girls from
she's
Archie.
Appeared in two episodes of his comic and I've drawn her like in the Archie style both times.
I was gonna say there was one that I don't think we had here, but it was one where it was a story about a guy who a bunch of guys were on a boat trip and the boat toilet doesn't work, so he poos in a bag and then he starts swinging it around and it gets on everyone, including the captain of the boat.
Yeah.
And that's just a hilarious fucking story to start with. But what I liked about that one is that you drew the captain of the boat as Captain Haddock from Tintin. And that sort of gave it an extra dimension that the original Dumbfuck story didn't quite have.
I get a lot out of music, as you can see.
Music gets a lot out of you.
Yeah, I get a lot of... Yeah, music gets a lot out of me. And this is fairly obvious. I mean, I like a lot of wordplay.
It's hard to read the titles.
Oh, okay. Let Her Beef. I Want to Hold Your Ham. Maxwell Silverside Hammer. All You Need Is Loin. The Salad of Egg and Yoko. Eat a Pony. I Ate the Walrus. The Long and Winding Sausage. I mean, it's all good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got up here Pork McChutney, Ringo Steak, George Benison, and John Liver.
John Liver. They might start with L.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right, this is a comic that's once again built upon wordplay. It's called Richard's Revenge, and it's just basically the whole, hey, Dick, and he goes, what, cunt?
I don't think you really have to explain it, actually.
We had fun, didn't we, at Comic Book Funny?
Oh, we did. Yeah. And the first week was Easter weekend, and so very few people came. It was still fun. And so, you know, big thanks to the people who did come for that first one. But then, the second one with you guys,
Oh. You
can hear in that clip, there was an audience.
Yeah, right. It was packed, wasn't it?
It was pretty full up in there. The lady who, Catherine Woodfield, who was running Comedy at Trades, reckon there might have been 50 people in there.
Awesome.
In the pub for the last three of them. And it was really good.
It's because of your little flyers and stuff that you were handing around, isn't it?
Yeah, flyers and, like, I went on the radio. Actually, maybe I should play a clip from when I was on the radio.
Oh, go on.
And what happened in that clip is they got my name wrong a couple of times. It was pretty funny.
Okay, what did they call you?
You are listening to Oral Text.
Oh, yes.
It's Stella Glory and Alicia sometimes here.
Comic Book Funny, David Blumenstein.
Blumenstein, yeah.
Blumenstein. Is it Blumenstein?
But we're lucky to be joined next
by David Blumenfield.
Blumenstein.
Blumenstein.
That's what you do for getting it off the top of your head.
Oh.
And so we're talking about the Comic Book Funny thing, and before it ends, she goes...
And on your podcast, it says that here are the tracks used in this podcast, and they're Sing a Song of Bum Sex, I Am Saucy, Pop Punk is So Exciting, Schlong Surgery, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
Where'd you find those beauties?
Well, those are songs written and performed in a computerised way by the guy who does the podcast with me, Ben Hutchings.
Right. So he's
there
got
his music. He wasn't entirely happy with me putting them in there either. He was a little bit embarrassed, but I went, come on. They're very short. They punctuate the thing, and God, they're amusing.
Well, Schlong Surgery.
Yeah.
I think I Rode to Woden was in there as well.
Yeah, I Rode to Woden.
That's a brilliant one.
And there is nothing like A-sex. Now.
Oh, cool. they're also making a documentary about Australian comics at the moment. This couple, who you might have seen at Supernova, this lad and this woman, and they've been travelling around the place trying to go to events, but obviously, you know, unfortunately missing some of them because they weren't aware they were on.
Who are these people?
They got a grant. They're just this young couple. I forget their names, but they got a grant and they're going around trying to record and interview all the cartoonists they can find, so...
Okay, and they couldn't find me?
Yeah. No, they
should
they
I be mad?
No, it's their fault. They don't really know much of what's going on, and they didn't know that Comic Book Funny was even on, and things like that.
How am I going to maintain a reputation as a big fucking media whore if I don't get my head into that?
Yeah,
but I think of us as sort of like the John Laws and Alan Jones of comics.
What, because we have this podcast?
Yeah. And also we're just outspoken and willing to do commercial endorsements of pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if we could do that.
I don't know if you've ever been to Victoria University, Ben, but really it is the leading university in Melbourne.
Is it really? It sounds like a shithole.
Sorry,
that's not right. That's not what you do, is it?
No.
Yeah, it sounds great. Surely going to such a university is quite expensive.
No, it's deceptively cheap. Or does deceptively cheap mean that it actually is expensive? I can never quite figure that out. But anyway, Victoria University, it's a new school of thought.
Yeah. I'd like to eat a Magnum. That's what I'd like to eat right now.
They're pretty tasty.
Oh, they melt in your mouth, dribble all down your beard.
Do you remember those enormous ice creams that we got in New Zealand?
Yep, Mega Trumpets. Brilliant.
Mega Trumpets.
Oh, an extra inch of ice cream poking out the top of the cone. I would endorse those because they were massive. When we went to Armageddon, we went to New Zealand Armageddon. I'm talking to the listener, obviously you know this, David.
Yeah, I've heard this, but go on.
That's best food, man. And mega trumpets, they're like Cornettos, they're called trumpets, but they have a mega trumpet. It's got like an extra inch of freaking ice cream on
it's
the top.
It's a giant Cornetto.
It's massive, and I had about one every day.
Yeah.
Because there's a town every 5 minutes, so when you're going cross country, you just stop every town and get a bloody fucking mega trumpet.
And I bloody stopped awesome. At every town and got Foot Rod Flats books.
Yeah, it was good.
That was pretty much how we went, you know, stopping in every town, getting ice creams and Foot Rod Flats books.
Yep, and listening to ABBA, done by studio musicians.
That's right.
Not the actual. And you said, I'm strangely unconcerned that it's not the original ABBA. I was enjoying it every bit as much as I would original ABBA. Anyway, who cares? Stop it.
Oh, yeah, we had a great weekend at the Comic Book Funny. Because, you guys came down from New South Wales, which was very nice.
Yeah.
That was the one. All the other ones were full of Melbourne people, but the second one was the one with you and Glenn and Ross. And you all came down, and we went for duck.
Yeah.
I think twice.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We went for... Awesome. Oh, here's where I can chuck in another plug. We went for delicious Peking duck at Dahu Peking Duck Restaurant. So you guys came down, and we had duck twice, yeah. And you danced in an alleyway, and we had a lot of trouble finding a bar to go to because all the bars in Melbourne are so fucking cool.
That's the thing. That's my thing. My serious thing is, like, you're having a good night. You're sitting there with wine. You're having a laugh. You're having a great time. You just don't move. You don't move from there. You stay there until the rest, you know, as long as you possibly can. Because the moment everyone gets up to move to another place, that's when people start splitting up, getting headaches, getting tired.
It's pretty late.
It ruins. It fucks the night up. You stay in one spot. God damn it. That's my... I don't know if that's a really Canberran thing to say, but you just stay in the one spot and you don't bloody move.
The problem is we were in the Melbourne CBD and all the bars are really hip and they were packed full of fucking hipster people, and so they were so loud that we couldn't have sat around and had a conversation, and we all wanted to do that and we wanted to, you know, have a comfortable time, and so we went to two bars and it was bad, and it got to that point where everyone's like, oh, I think might go home now, I know somewhere that will be quiet, and that was the Melbourne Bar and Bistro. And that's renowned in Melbourne among the comic people because they've had comics meets at this place. And it's in Bourke Street Mall. It's in a basement next to a Red Rooster or something. And it is... And I'm taking credit for having named it at the comics meet Melbourne's Cumhole.
Yeah, with the...
because it is kind of a cumhole, really. It's got, you know, it's like $7 all you can eat, which is good, except the food is average. I was the only one who would eat it, pretty much. There's like an old man bar, and there's the eating area. And so we all sort of came in, and there were maybe 8 or 10 of us, and there was a guy behind the bar, and he said, he kind of pointed in to the bar area, and I was like, oh, no, we'd like to be in the bistro area so we can all sit down. And he went, Oh, all right. I thought you would all come in to use the toilet. It was like 9 o'clock or something at night on Saturday night, and he's just like, oh, surely these people don't actually want to come in here and sit down.
Wow.
We're cleaning out the Bain Marie's.
Mm.
So that was after the Saturday Comic Book Funny. And then the next day... really nice guys from Supernova... offered us a table for nothing.
Free table. So we went along there, and that was nice. I think it took me about an hour and a half before I was nagging David and Ross, can we please go?
Yeah. And we've gone into this before.
I don't want to diss Supernova. We've gone into it before. It's not our scene. That always comes back to you 5 minutes after sitting down at the table. It was when I had to go to the toilet, and I had to follow go in there after an enormous version of one of the characters from Battle of the Planets was just coming out, and I don't know what he'd done in there, but...
A shit, presumably.
It was seeping out a good meter and a half or maybe 2 meters from the actual door of the actual toilet room, so after that I was just really annoyed and just had to leave, so... what did we do then? Then we left and I think we went to...
Well, I thought it'd be a good idea if we went and had a look at some of the other places in Melbourne that have that stock comics. So we went to Sticky.
Sticky, that's right. Yeah, we went to Sticky. That was awesome. Because I've been stocking their stuff there for ages, and they were really kind of happy to talk to us, I think, weren't they?
They were starstruck a little bit meeting you.
Yeah. And the 696 people as well, they were kind of like that. Oh
my God, is that... Are you Ben Hutchings?
Yeah, that's right. That girl there, she's kind of hot, and she was like, yeah, my boyfriend's a big fan of yours.
Oh, that's sad. It's still good. Still good, though.
Still good. That's right. And that was much better. Yeah, putting stuff, just going straight to the shops and stocking stuff in shops. I always find that's much more rewarding.
Brunswick bound.
That's right. And then we, after that, we went to the actual 696. They were having a birthday bash at the shop there.
That's just that's Gallery 696. Located at 696 Sydney Road, Brunswick in Melbourne.
That's right.
I'm giving them a plug.
Yeah, they're good. They sell zines and they sell lots of art and stuff like that there.
The four people who listen to this podcast, get down there.
Get down there and do yourself a favor and get some stuff.
Yeah, or get your comics in there, because only other cartoonists listen to us. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we went to their party, didn't we?
We went to their party. They were having a first birthday party.
You would have not believed us. We were like wild party animals.
We were so cool.
Yeah.
The way we came in there, not knowing anyone, and the way we sort of stood around talking to each other and no one else. Oh, man.
Oh, that's brilliant. So I stood there with... And then you went to do a poo.
I went to their outdoor dunny, and I went and did a poo, and I was...
And I was standing outside by myself with a cigarette. It was awesome.
I was a little bit ill, and I was sort of taking a really long time, and so all the sexy young ladies who were at this thing were, like, knocking on the door. Are you all right in there? Yeah. Oh, there's nothing hotter to a woman than just...
A guy who may be having trouble getting a poo out.
That's right.
It arouses their maternal instincts. That's why they want to help.
Bowel obstruction is so sexy.
Yeah, you should have said, "I am. Do you want to come and help me?
Help me with my poo."
Would have had putty in your hands.
Yeah.
They would have had putty on their hands too. Putty of a different kind, that is.
Ow!
Bam!
This podcast just went to crazy town. Alright. Yeah, so we had a good time apart from my big dump.
That's a good one.
So here's another bit from the Comic Book Funny Live with Ben and Ross and Glenn. And here is Ross talking about employment in the world of comics.
There's not really a lot of work out there for people that draw comics, really. You've got two strands. There's kids' magazines, and then there's dirty magazines, and there's not really anything in between.
No, there is something. It's called self-publishing.
I
think we were talking about this before.
Yeah.
Whether you're a musician or you're an illustrator or you write for a living, if it doesn't hit the mark straight away, I think in retrospect, a lot of people go, oh, that stuff's great, and maybe 15 years later, I mean, as long as it's there, you know, it's all well and good. I mean, you've got to pay the rent. You've got to do that. I mean, that's the thing. But I mean, as far as industry is concerned, there is that. There's the children's industry. There's like the men's magazine industry. And then there's the sort of the big grey area, which is like the, I don't know what you'd call it. You're like aspirational industry or something.
It's the minor leagues.
Yeah, it is the minor leagues. But if it's good enough, I believe that, you know, who knows? Who knows, down the track. You know, this stuff exists, so... And I think we're very lucky now that... I'm going to say we're lucky to have websites and stuff like that. We're actually lucky enough to be able to disseminate this stuff anywhere. You know, you can make friends anywhere around the world, and it's up there, and it doesn't go unnoticed. I remember having a conversation with somebody in the late 80s about, you know, what I was going to do for a living, and it's like, well, you know, you have to get your stuff published. You have to get people to see this stuff. And now you can. You can just do it. You just do it, and it's there, and it's, you know. Maybe you do have to, you know, be a factory hand, or you do have to, you know, get out there with your squeegee and do people's windows. And I'm not saying I've done that, but, you know, if you've got it, I'm going to have to become a loafer on you, but if you've got that sort of, you know, that dream,
you go, girl.
Sometimes, yeah, you go, girl, you know. know, you do.
Please
don't. And that's it. That's as deep as I'm going to get. But I just think that the reason that these exist is definitely not for money, but it's because you thought you had a funny thing. And this is really cool about today, because we're here as a adjunct to the comedy festival, which is all about stand-up comedians usually. And as you can see, we're the sitting down comedians, and we all are. We sit at our desks. We have a chuckle, and we hope that we don't expect to see an audience like this. It's always we've got this imaginary person that's at the other end of our comic, and we think, gee, I hope they get a chuckle out of this. I mean, I don't buy as many comics as I used to, but when I do get a comic, I love that little bit of, you know, that little bit of sanctity away from everywhere with my comic and having a chuckle, and you know, it's better than sport, I reckon.
Don't we all feel that?
Yeah.
Oh, what could be better than sport?
All right, let me ask you this: what do you usually when you see a comic that is meant to be a funny comic and it's not funny, what is it usually doing wrong?
I would say, first of all, facial expressions. You got to be really careful about the way you draw people's faces. And I think a lot of people have a technique and stuff that they use that just doesn't really
end up with the same expression on every...
That's probably the most important thing. Also, if you screw up, you think a lot of people make a lot of mistakes in comics and they draw... the timing is wrong, or the composition, and so it might be a bit confusing, things like that. Those sorts of mistakes obviously affect it. But I think definitely probably facial expressions are the one thing that make a comic funny or not funny.
It's all in the eyes, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely.
If you look at a comic and it's not funny, why is it not funny?
Generally because the author is very unfunny themselves.
Yeah, like, so the writing?
It's a bit of a judgment.
It's hard without putting something up in front of you, but I don't.
Yeah.
I guess you'd have done that.
Just depends. I mean,
here's a shit comic.
I don't know. I'm not going to do that. But I mean, if you look at television, you know, there's some great comedy out there, and it works because usually it's British. I don't know. I think some people get used to sort of mediocrity. With television you do, I know that. I'm not really a connoisseur of stand-up comedy. But when it comes to comics, you make a mark and that's it. It's there on the paper. You can cut it out, start again or whatever. I think it's just, I don't know, some people are just really good at it. And once again, I'm going to throw this back to Ben, because Ben's bloody good at it. Like, I remember seeing his early stuff and just thinking, this stuff's got like... like a tenth of the amount of lines that I use, so I thought he's not putting as much effort in, but in fact he's got it down. He's got it, like, it's precise. He knows where the funniness is, and I was sort of doing this lame sort of finding myself comic sort of stuff, which I really hate now. I really, really hate that stuff now.
Did you bring any with you?
No, I didn't.
You know, I think that my favourite cartoonist when I was younger, and one of them is probably Don Martin.
Yeah, man,
and especially Don Martin. I think that almost everything that guy draws is funny.
How can you not? Every one of his characters is like some sort of mutant creature.
Yeah, and I think I sort of got a bit of inspiration from that, I guess. But I mean, I don't think my stuff's, you know, quite as funny as that. But you know, I sort of always look at stuff that is funny, I try to avoid anything that's not. Like, a lot of comics are very stiff, like Archie and Richie Rich and that sort of thing. You know, where it's obviously drawn from a model sheet and every panel looks identical to the one before, you know what I mean? Or, actually, it's even more interesting when it doesn't. Like, if they got somebody who maybe was like Apprentice or something, he might have come in one day and didn't have an issue with Casper or something. And he kind of retarded it up a bit and it's kind of a bit spazzy.
Has anyone ever laughed at Casper or Richie Rich?
Well, I'm just saying, it'd be more interested if The Apprentice did it.
I think a lot of comics are made, particularly commercial comics and animation as well, are made by people who, well, they have no idea what's funny or not. There's so much stuff out there that you look at and you go, oh, kids are like this, and parents buy it for their children. Richie Rich and Casper are examples that I was thinking of. I was still to this day wonder, I didn't think it was funny. I enjoyed them because they were comics, but really I never laughed out loud. And I think there's a lot of that stuff on TV.
I think a lot of people that are doing this sort of work are people that knew that they were cool jobs. And that was it, they were cool jobs to do. Like stuff like Viz Magazine, you just knew that every single artist that worked for Viz Magazine were idiots. They were so funny. Like you just knew that that was their thing. Mad Magazine as well. I don't know, you it reflects in the art. Art's very good at that. Art's very good at telling you who did it. Sometimes you'd be surprised at the artist if you got to meet them. But
as someone who works on shitty kids animation, all the characters are built before anyone starts, so there's no way that anyone could tell who did what.
Yeah.
So there's no personality because people don't alter the facial expressions that they're provided with. I think I'm funny and have a sense of humour, but I can't actually influence.
Yeah, that's right. But it's the same with creators. Like, if the creator can stay in control of it, there's no worries at all, you know. But as soon as there's too many cooks on the broth,
all it takes is one bad cook.
Yeah.
To fight it up.
Yeah.
Because animation goes through so
much. I mean, Ren and Stimpy sort of. You saw there's a real evolution in Ren and Stimpy where it got handed over to a couple of other probably good spirited people, but
yeah.
You just can't do that. It's like you start with a band and then three of the guys leave the band and then you get these other guys in there, great musos and stuff, but they're
the new platters.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like Kiss with the blonde drummer. What's with that? that wasn't supposed to happen.
I think all the best comics are ones that are done just by one person or two people. If you think about the most successful and funny comics of all time,
Tintin.
Tintin is the first. Yeah, Asterix is done by two people. Usagi Yojimbo is enormous. That's done by one person. Gru the Wanderer. It's another one I think of. It's just one fella. From Mad Magazine. But then you go over to Marvel Comics, who are trying to do funny comics, and they're enormous teams. They've got a penciler. An inker, a letterer, a layer artist, sometimes two layer artists, or
have they ever done funny comics?
They've tried.
Yeah, they've attempted funny comics. And
what do they do?
Howard the Duck.
Oh, yeah.
That was different.
Let's forget about how you ever said that.
They did parodies of their own.
It was bad when George Lucas made that.
They did a parody of Spider-Man called Spider-Ham, where he was a pig instead of a man. And that's like so fucking shit.
I like that idea.
No, he was
Peter Porker.
Peter Porker, the spectacular Spider-Ham.
Yeah, I like that idea. Half spider, half pig.
Nah, it's shit.
Exciting stuff. So this is what you missed if you didn't come to Comic Book Funny. And then if you didn't come to Comic Book Funny, you're a prick.
Speaking of comics, they're related to drawing, that's related to drawing boards. Last week, the interesting story about how I bought a drawing board. More news, actually, breaking news on that front.
Yep.
I used it, and I don't really use it much anymore because I prefer to just draw on the table.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it not? You don't get back problems?
No, it's just upright, and you lean on it, and it slowly moves back, and you can't lean on it properly. So there you go. Drawing boards. Don't get them.
Oh, all right.
Unless you like them. I don't like them, so don't. I won't get one. Just so you know, I'm not going to get another one.
There's going to be this thing on in Melbourne, and it's called the Emerging Writers Festival, and it's been on a few times before. And in the past, it actually used to be called Make It Up, the Zine Fair, and it was the biggest zine fair that was going on in Melbourne, where people with the zines and comics would sell their stuff. But now it's become classy, right? And it's become the Emerging Writers Festival.
Okay.
And so what they're doing is the last two of these. I've put on an exhibition of comic art. So at this Emerging Writers Festival this time, we're doing a thing called Comics in a Day. And so what it is basically is we're going to do exactly what we would normally do at the thing, and that is sit at the zine fair, bitch about people and things, and draw comics. Except what we're going to be doing instead is people are going to be invited to look at us while we do that.
Wow.
So in case anyone did want to look at us draw, we're going to be sitting there next weekend, so I better get this podcast up really quick. 9th of May, it starts, the Emerging Writers Festival, on Friday night. But on Sunday, 11th of May, at Fed Square, at the Atrium, is where the zine fair is going to be. And that's where we'll be sitting, drawing comics, and, you know, you can look over our shoulder at what we're doing, and...
Yeah, but what else can a person do if they go to that thing? I mean, they'll probably love to watch you drawing for about maybe 2 hours, but what will they do for the next, say, hour? Is there other things they can do there?
Well, they can go around to all the stalls and buy comics and zines, or look at comics and zines, or maybe just for a change, make eye contact with someone who is selling comics and zines.
Now, there's been talk on the town, on the streets, hushed whispers in corners of bars, that we should be maybe covering any local stuff that we like.
Oh, we should be talking about comics that actually we think are good rather than just hanging shit on the ones that we don't think are good.
Yeah. I just thought...
It's a nice thought.
Might be a bit boring, but let's do it anyway.
All right, go for it. What do you like, Ben Hutchings? What comics do you like that are made in Australia?
Well, I can think of a few, but I just probably want to talk about three that spring to mind.
Yep.
There's one that is not around anymore, and it was this brilliant, unique... piece of comedy gold called Rock and Roll Ninja Aquarius.
Yep.
I wonder if anyone ever read that or bought it or heard about it.
I never have read it.
It's the worst drawn comic ever, probably on a par with that one we talked about last episode, that Forbidden Graphics. It was really badly drawn, right? Black and white. So it's not even in colour. The whole thing is black and white. And it's the most ridiculous, silly thing I've ever read in my life. It's deliberately silly humour.
So what was it about?
This ninja. This dude who's also the Green Ninja or something like that.
And he plays rock and roll?
No, I don't think he does. Yeah, he does. He had an album coming out called You Don't Need to Be a Ninja to Kick It. Or something like that.
Okay.
You Don't Gotta Be a Ninja to Kick It, in brackets.
And that was a funny comic.
It was really funny.
Who did that funny comic?
This group of maybe three or four dudes. I've never heard of them before. They just showed up to the convention one time selling this comic, and I think they were high school friends or something like that.
Okay.
They had that sort of humour where they've obviously been buddies. They obviously really sparked to each other, and they had this really odd sort of sense of humour and came through in the comic. Like, for instance, on the first cover of the front of number one, it's just a dude in his underpants with no top on and a big hairy belly watching television with a beer. And the second or third issue had like a picture of a gigantic book with long legs walking down a catwalk at a fashion show. It's just really odd.
Yeah.
I can't explain the plot or anything like that because it really is...
Don't try.
It makes no sense, you know what I mean? And it doesn't take itself seriously enough anyway. So.
But that was a good comic.
If you can get a copy of it, I would really recommend it because it was a very, very funny comic.
It's called Rock and Roll Ninja Aquarius, and it was created by Matthew Buckley, Dean McDowell, and Michael Tomasu.
Was it?
I've gone and looked up Tabula Rasa, which is the very helpful index of information about Australian comics, which can be found at www.tabula-rasa.info.
Crumpleton Experiments, my God.
That
if
guy's
you haven't
good.
Seen that, seriously, he's good, and he's getting better with each issue, Dan Reed.
Yep.
Started off as a normal-sized comic, now it's sort of a mini-comic size.
It's about a professor and his sexy assistant who didn't want to be sexy, but she sort of became sexy because he did some kind of wacky thing to her.
That doesn't make it sound good. More and more surreal. The story, it's brilliant. Like... And if you ever see Dan at the conventions, go to his table and look at his original art sketchbooks because they're fantastic. He draws it all on a lot of it on A3 pages, even bigger, I think, in the most minute pen you can possibly buy. So it's meticulous cross hatching. You know what I mean? And he does it really, really well. So
yeah, it's fantastic art, and it's got some good ideas behind it and everything.
I'd recommend getting issue one to introduce the story, and probably issue eight, like the latest one, just to get a load of his latest artwork. That's Crumpleton Experience. Now, what's another one I want to talk about? Fatsville?
Fatsville's great.
There's more than this. I'm just going to cover three, right? There's heaps of good ones, but yeah, I'm just going to cover three. Fatsville, I like Fatsville because it's a real good old school anthology, you know, the old school kind of a lot of toilet humour, you know, some good art, some art, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like really mixed bag kind of stuff. Brilliant. I love it. It's thick little thing. It's from Queensland. It's from guys who are... my friends.
We like them, so we can't be, you know, we're biased a little bit, but I have to say. You know, John Stewart does kick-ass shit. And
he writes little stories about just like banal little things that happen to him at work, and that's I really like that sort of thing. And
and Giles does some great stuff.
Ben Z used to be in, he's still in it a bit.
Ben Constantine does beautiful stuff. He does fucking nutcase artwork.
It's a really good little anthology. They bring it out all the time. I think they might do like two a year or something like that, or maybe more than that.
Yeah, they're very prolific.
Checking them out, they're up to number 12 or something.
That's worth looking at.
It is worth looking at. There's stuff around worth looking at.
Patrick Alexander's excellent.
He's very funny.
He's a funny guy. He does these things, Pink Chickens and Raimondo Person and things like that. He does great stuff.
Comics.
There's Jared Ashworth. I'm always mentioning Jared Ashworth. He hasn't done a lot lately, but he does some kick-ass stuff. He's a nutcase. And
Sorry, are we going to talk about him in the? Are we going to play audio from that?
Oh yeah, we're going to play some audio a little bit later that is about we partially talk a bit about him and his work, and so I won't go and talk a lot about his stuff. But he does comics like Modern Murder. Have you ever read Pox?
Pox, P-O-X.
Yep.
I've read Fox, not Pox.
No, a comic called Pox.
No, I haven't. Oh, maybe. Go on.
That's a comic. It's done by Susan Butcher, and I think it's Carol Wood.
Okay.
And it's really good and really funny.
I wonder when David Tang is going to get around to doing his next knee pocket, because I'm bloody
what
well in that.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Tang?
Yeah,
Tang. Get a new comic out.
God damn, Tang.
Draw it yourself if you have to.
It's not that hard.
Come
Hello.
On, man.
It's an anthology. You can
Where's
bring
your comic?
Three or four or five out a year. Hello.
Says the guy who took 4 years to do his last one.
Did he?
Yeah, that's me.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt. I bet he's feeling pretty small right about now.
Yeah.
David Tang, and is it Stickman? I don't know if he does. He just writes stories about he's growing up, like his early teenage years of being shy and just hanging out and looking at girls and not talking to them, and then having a little relationship that's based on nothing and doesn't go anywhere and stuff like that. Mm. But I really like those. They're quite nice little comics.
There are good comics. You will go and look for them, and you will find them, and then you will find some comics that are just trash, and you will tear them up and throw them away and not worry about them anymore, and you will continue to seek out the comics by the people who were good.
That's right.
That's what I do. All right, so here's another bit from the Comic Book Funny Life.
Is there anything
question
that...
Oh, yeah.
Yes, please.
One thing that strikes me sometimes is you get, really good drawing, but the dialogue is shit.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you get pretty good dialogue, but the drawing's shit. Can you comment about that? Because sometimes I've seen...
I think it's more often the first one, isn't it?
I've seen comics and think, God, if that guy got someone in who had a good sense of humour, it'd be great.
Sunday paper comics are always like that.
Yeah.
You kind of go, the art's kind of interesting, and then you read it and go, who would actually love that?
I don't know exactly
why. It's actually a joke.
I don't know exactly why, but it seems like there's a lot of really good artists around and no good writers, almost.
Really?
And, none. Obviously, you guys...
You sort of hope that sort of gets weeded out in the process of meeting other artists. Like, sometimes... I mean, I've been, like... Okay, for instance, I remember Ben said something to me once, like, you should do some more comics, like, actual comics. And I took it like, don't you like my stuff? And I realised that you did. But you're saying you should go in this direction. And a lot of people are like, especially comic artists, we don't like to really put shit on each other too much.
Yeah.
Like, but there, like, if there was more of that going on, then somebody would say, look, your drawings are great, but your stories are really hack, you know. You should get this guy, or this girl here, she writes some really good stuff.
Yeah.
I've noticed that with collaboration. Like, I've collaborated with quite a few different people over the years. I've done something with Joe Waite. And also Ryan Veller and the Lord of the Comics, Jared Ashworth. And it's just interesting because if you're open to just letting it happen, the best of everything sort of happens sometimes. Like you actually, the good ideas get inked, and there's almost like an ego thing going on as well where you're going, gee, I really want to do the best here because they've given me their baby or whatever. But when you're going with your creation from the start to finish, and sometimes it can take up to a year for some, or for some of us even longer, to get things from A to Z. Like, there's some compromise, there's some dull moments in there. But if you've got someone sort of on your back going, oh, pull your socks up, you shouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
And that's it, because comics sometimes do get created in a vacuum, like in these little voids around the place and back in bedrooms, by people that are sort of, don't even really, you know, even imagine somebody else really reading these comics. Some people just do them for therapy, you know.
You're talking about Jared Ashwood.
Yeah, I suppose I am, but Jared's going to be one of these guys that somebody's just going to one day go,
yeah.
My God, this guy's
an idiot
savant. Oh, you know, this guy's a genius.
Yeah.
I actually...
He's like Vincent van Gogh or something, like,
yeah,
maybe that's a bit too much, but, you know, he will be appreciated down the track as, like...
Yeah.
I mean,
I should have conversations on the phone with him that I didn't understand, like, 90% of the conversation. I'd just be nodding politely on the other end of the phone, just kind of...
Yeah. I just talked to him on the phone the other day for the first time. I had that experience. But he recognised that I was having that experience.
Yeah, no. He's aware of it. He's aware of these things.
I know you probably have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. I'm getting 40%, I reckon.
Yeah.
We were talking about the minor leagues that
were
kind of in this minor leagues thing. And so that's sort of what we were saying before about how nobody really... goes and gives criticism to other
people. Yeah, he always stepped up. He always, like, had a little column in the back of his comics going, this is shit.
Yeah.
Who did this? Who sent this to me? Go away. Don't
he would tip buckets over other people's small press.
I remember when I first started, and I started doing it at pretty much the same time as Sick Puppy first came out, and also Ryan Diller, I think.
Yeah.
Started first doing his stuff, and there's another guy called David Puckeridge that had a comic called Gristlefern, and they all sort of, they were sort of the comics that sort of just came out pretty much roughly in a space of like 2 or 3 months, and all those comics roughly had this same sort of humour about them, like a very deranged, I guess you'd say, humour.
Yeah.
And Jared wrote this big thing about artists that throw shit at walls and that should grow up.
Because they were all dirty comics.
More or less, but he sort of really went on the point of, like, you guys are just, like, being offensive for the point of it.
But he takes comics very seriously, almost religiously, like, and that's not a bad thing, like, he's a real zealot.
No.
If you can track down any of his stuff, I know it's hard to get now, because he's really gone into isolation, but he says
he's not reprinting anything anymore.
No, but he's a brilliant example of what the comics format can actually do. Like, he is a larger than life character, and because he's able to write, and because he's able to draw at the same time, and because he's able to formulate a narrative, you get it with both barrels. You're just going, this guy is the maddest guy on the planet.
Yeah. So I guess part of the problem with, you know, why aren't there well written comics, then it's partially because no one would tell anyone else when it's badly written, and partially because there's no industry in Australia that's sort of devoted to getting, you know, artists and writers together, or getting artists and writers to a professional level. So everyone pretty much does their own comic.
It's comics that you can judge them. When they work, they work. It's like good comedy.
If you see people who are, you know, maybe scary looking, like Ross is, and they're doing comics, then maybe come over and just check out the comic.
You don't have to touch him, you just got to get a comic.
You don't have to buy it, but I'm pretty much...
I've only touched the one that's on the top and the one that's on the bottom. The one that's in the middle haven't been touched by my hands.
Tell us about John Rhys-Davies.
Well, he was at Armageddon in New Zealand, actually, and he's cool. I like him because he walks around after he does all the signing and talks. He gets up and he walks around and he chats to people who are selling comics or whatever. Nice man, and really... always something to say, you know, he talks all the time. He came back, he saw my killer fetus, and he went, the killer fetus, eh? And that was really nice that he said that. He knows it's somewhere in his mind. Like,
you
so
kind of wish
he
had a recording of it, but...
Yeah, I know. That means when he dies, when his whole life flashes before his eyes, my comic will go through his mind. John Rhys-Davies, my friend Simon is a massive fan of that guy, and he got to take his photo with him, and... you know, he said, can I take a photo? He doesn't talk like that. It's Sean Connery, isn't it? But he put his arm around his neck and they were standing there getting their photo taken. Apparently, very disturbingly, John Rhys-Davies starts to sort of rotate his thumb on and caress Simon's neck. Like, and this guy is someone that his Simon's been a fan of since he was a kid, and he didn't know what to make of it. Like, it could just be Hollywood affection, you know. I don't know these actors, but
I reckon he just really likes screwing around with geeks. He's just like, here you go, see what you make of this.
Simon's also a big beardy sort of bear of a man, I guess you say.
Yeah,
maybe, I don't know, maybe they felt like they bonded or something.
Yeah, big guys with beards.
I met, who else did I meet? I almost met the Chewbacca actor. We went to a rooftop party, one of the early Supernovas. We somehow managed to wrangle a rooftop party. I think some of the phosphorescent guys were there, and the dude from the Chewbacca costume was there, the big tall fella. What's his name? It's not David Prowse.
Peter Mayhew.
I don't know, man. That's what he does for his life. He charges $40 for a photo and he signs it, and that's what he does. That's what he does for a living now. He goes around to cons and I mean, he was just not—he was boring, really. I mean, maybe he's not boring, but he was just talking on and on about how's his dog, and everyone was like hanging on his every word. It's like, oh yes, I got a dog. Oh really, you do? What? Tell me what breed of dog is it? You know? Oh, that's nice. You've got. So you live there with your wife, do you? What kind of driveway do you have? What kind of... And it was just awful. So
please tell me they weren't asking him what kind of driveway he had.
It was something like, what kind of house? Or just explaining his house on his driveway. And he was bored himself. And then he just left. He left. He didn't say goodbye to anyone. He just sort of disappeared.
And maybe they thought that they shouldn't ask him questions about Star Wars. It was like, oh, he's sick of talking about that. Let's talk about his driveway.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh well, we see you as being a human being like us.
Yeah.
What kind of dog do you have?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't know what to talk to Chewbacca about.
I know.
It'd be weird hearing him talk at all after all the.
I don't know what to say to any of these celebrities. What do you say? How many ways can you say, "I really like your work"? You know.
I don't know.
I really like your work. You know.
Well, I might have done that when we were at Supernova for that hour and a half. I would have done that if I had realized, because who they had there was the only guest that I've ever been really excited about at one of these comic conventions. They had Michael Winslow, the guy who makes the mouth noises from Police Academy.
That's right, they did.
And I'm a big Police Academy fan.
Yeah.
But I thought, oh, it'll be packed out, there'll be tons of people, they won't... Yeah. But someone told me later, oh, yeah, he was just sitting there waiting for someone to talk to him.
I'm like, oh,
I would have gone over. I would have said, oh, man. Oh, but apparently he had a lot more going on Saturday.
Okay, good.
So I don't feel too bad. All right, so here's the last bit of audio from Comic Book Funny Live.
Ben's here from Canberra.
Yes.
And Bruce really is just coming up with these awesome jokes about Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm not going to do one.
Oh.
Whisper it to me, I'll say it.
Maybe later, just to put some comedy in it.
What was that? Where's the jokes? Are you going to tell the jokes now?
Oh, no, I lost nerve.
Tell them now.
Melbourne jokes, Melbourne.
These are hilarious.
Yeah. Only people from Melbourne will understand them.
Go.
But, yeah. Okay, there was a saint. Why... And there was a dead woman. Oh, why was the saint feeling really guilty?
About the dead woman?
Yeah, why?
I don't know why.
Because Saint killed her.
Because
it's like the name... It's the name of a suburb.
It is. It's another one. Do you have any more?
Go.
My
friend Roy wants a glove. Now, why do you think I got the size... particular size glove for my friend Roy. Why?
Why?
Because it fits Roy.
Because Fitzroy is a suburb in Melbourne. These would have been awesome on stage. I can't believe you didn't tell them.
Do you have any?
Oh yeah. All right. What did Jeffrey do after he whittled A and B?
Whittled it like with a knife. Whittled.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Just went home, I guess.
No. Whittle C.
Whittle C!
That's a place!
Oh, that's brilliant.
And all right, here's a good one. What did Bob do, and where did he go?
Bob... I don't know.
Broadmeadows! And you know why?
Why?
Because he lived in Broadmeadows.
Oh, yeah, so he just went there.
He went there to go, because that's where he lived.
Hung out and... Yeah. Went home and stuff. That's good. Yeah. I probably should have told those after all.
Hey. Those were fucking hilarious.
We are fucking people. Well, that's all we have for this particular episode of Comic Book Funny. There'll be more laughs and informative information bits.
Oh, wait a minute, Ben.
Yeah, what?
Aren't you forgetting something? Aren't you going to do a song for us?
I am. That's right, I forgot. Well, it's
no, you're going to do it live. Here we go.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Comic Book Funny. It's been wonderful. And now Ben Hutchings live on stage performing the theme from Neverending Story. Don't forget to listen to the whole thing.
Turn around, look at what you see.
Comic Book Funny was hosted by David Blumenstein and Ben Hutchings. If you don't like the show, fuck you. The website of David can be found at www.nakedfella.com. Ben's website can be found by going to Google and typing in his motherfucking name.
Comic Book Funny is a production of the Children's Television Workshop.